Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Divine Downloads Podcast. I am your host, Elizabeth Overton, and I'm very excited today about this episode. We are going to do a deep dive about one of my most passionate topics. So without further ado, today I'm delighted to have on the show Melissa Berg. Melissa is a licensed school psychologist and multi-passionate wellness advocate, fierce, I might add, with a deep devotion for empowering women who are wanting to create a lifelong, healthy lifestyle. She founded Melissa Berg Wellness to share her journey and inspire others to focus on living their most healthiest selves. Her mission is to create inspired connections by facilitating inclusive retreats and adventures to build community, share resources, and foster mind, body, and spiritual growth. Melissa works with you to take charge of your life and well-being through healthy nutrition, mindful practices, and self-care to become the healer in your own home. I love that. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
I'm so excited. Okay, so this is going to be really fun because we're friends and professionals, and we have been talking a lot about this thing called, well, a couple of words that come up are vulnerability, surrender, awareness, and what's the other word? Resistance. Did we say
that? Yes, resistance.
Yes. So my experience has been, I have witnessed so many women that are like me, super go-getter vibe, like to do all that in a bag of chips, and would never want to be seen as, you know, whatever, weak, like you don't have your stuff together. So basically it's like this flag of, quote, it's like the badge of busyness and the badge of perfectionism. So I just want to have this really authentic conversation with you because I know that you get it and you have experienced it. So tell me what it means to you, Melissa. What is this busyness and perfectionism? And let's just talk a little bit. What's your experience been with that?
Yeah. And as a woman, I think that we have this predetermined busyness just set on us, right? We have to do all the things for all the people, whether it's for your loved ones, your family, but it's just, it's anybody. And then also being, as you know, in a health helping profession, we bring that into it as well. So we're helping everybody else all the time, 24/7. And we, like just what you said, is that we have to have this badge of honor that we wear, or this thing that says, I have to look a certain way, do a certain thing, be a certain somebody, you know, publicly. And if people really know, or like who I am, like being this found out thing, you know, like I don't really have it all together, but I have to act like I have it all together. And I just, you know, where does that come from? I don't know. Conditioning, type A personality. But a lot of it too, I think for me, in my experience, it comes also from just being around a lot of other women. And, you know, and people like that too, is that if we're all doing it, we're all, it's kind of like that Stepford wife syndrome, right? Is that we're all showing and demonstrating this instead of just letting us all be, what does like Brene Brown say, vulnerable, and really having a conversation of that this really isn't doing anyone any good.
I'm so glad that you said my favorite teacher's name.
I know.
Brene Brown. And I love to talk about the elephant in the room. So this is really why I wanted to have this conversation, and you nailed it, Melissa. It's like that show that you mentioned, and basically Keeping Up with the Joneses, right? Like,
right.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, and truth be told, if people actually knew what was going on behind closed doors, we would find out that, number one, nobody is alone. Everybody is dealing with something beyond our ability to actually even comprehend, right? On some level, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical. I mean, being a mother, whether it's a fur babies or mm-hmm. or humans, right? Things yeah. come up that will rip your heart out and break it into a million little pieces. Like, you look no further than social media, and the rate of suicide among mm-hmm. young children makes me so physically sick. And so I think it's so healing when we can talk about how crappy things are and how overwhelmed we are and how we mm-hmm. really we're ready to put down the freaking torch of busyness. And so I want to thank you for your vulnerability for talking about this, because I think I feel like I want to give permission to women to own your vulnerability. Right?
Yeah. And well, I think there's that, it's, I feel like it's a fear. A fear, and fear really stops us from living our full potential, our full life. Because we miss so many opportunities to have real vulnerable conversations and relationships, because we're often trying to stay safe. We're always safeguarding. We keep everyone at this respectable distance. And a lot of my experience too is a lot of worry and anxiety, especially if you've suffered any type of wrongdoing, whether it's a bad relationship, a job, a friendship, or whatever it might be. There's that hurt, and you're worried about it repeating itself. So we just get in this fearful cycle of avoiding, getting close to people, taking chances, letting people know who we really are. And that fear and our worry, it just sits in our mind and ruminates. And that's where that anxiety comes from. And we're seeing, like you just said, we're seeing it more and more now, down to even small children. There's, because they already have this feeling that they're not good enough. What they're producing isn't, you know, good enough, especially it's not even get started in the education system of that. We're asking our little kids to just produce so much more at such a younger age, instead of being kids and involved in play and make believe and all of that stuff. But and so it's just, it's really sad when you talk about the rate of suicide in our youth.
I love what you said about this idea, the word widget is coming up for me, like this idea of we're putting this on our children, and we put on ourselves this idea, if we're not producing, we're somehow less valuable, or we're somehow not fulfilling our potential. And this has been a huge awakening lesson for me to learn that I'm not, like, I am not worthy because of what I do, what I say, what I earn, what I own. Like, I am worthy because I am, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and this makes me think a little bit about this whole concept. You talked a lot about fear. I think, yeah, we want to stay safe. And the minute we say, you know what, we're going to awaken, we're going to evolve, we're going to take the next, we're going to grasp onto the next rung on the, to me, like the spiritual ladder, and your ego is having no part of it. You know, your ego's job is to keep you safe. Like you were saying, the biggest things that we butt our heads up against is this thing called resistance. So let's talk about that a little bit. should I share that quote we talked about before?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Okay, so those of you who listen to this podcast, you know that I'm very much into energy and spirituality, and sometimes I reference Esther and Jerry Hicks, and they are this cool couple, and they share, you could call them downloads, uploads, messages from somebody called Abraham Hicks. And so this is a really cool quote that my girl Lydia just posted on Facebook literally earlier. I caught a glimpse of it, and when Melissa and I were talking, you mentioned this quote, and I'm like, of course, energy, synchronicity. So here is the quote, and it's, I think it speaks so poignantly to what we're talking about, and it's this: in your resistance, you get tired, and so you need rest, and so you go from resistance to rest to resistance to rest, but what about rest to eagerness, rest to passion, rest to alignment, rest to clarity, rest to brilliance? You can get this energy moving within you. And when you are up to speed with that energy, you are clever. You are fun. You are full of vitality and your timing is good. Then you are living life as you intended. That's from Abraham Hicks. So I just let that sink in for a minute. Let's talk about, maybe this would be a great time to talk about how maybe it was your resistance to rest, how that manifested in your life.
Definitely. And definitely it's a work in progress. But yeah, several years ago, I had a huge wake up call and called me out on this, that I wasn't allowing rest. I wasn't allowing myself to take care of me and putting my needs first. And I had a life-changing event where basically said, you know, you need to put yourself first. And I, without going into so much detail around the circumstances of it, I really had to step back and let go of a lot of things. And I wasn't one that liked to deal with uncertainty. I liked to control the situation, the context, how it was going to go, how it was going to go down. For me, it was easier to stay the course, stay put, not take chances, not branching out, not, you know, go, 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 go. And obviously that wasn't in my best interest, and my body loudly protested, and I had to take a moment and step back. And since that time, for a couple of years now, I've realized that there was so much fear, there's that word again, about letting go and letting be and being in this period of rest. And I'm using it to find this new comfortable place in my life. And it's had a huge impact on my well-being and for sure my mood. And I'm much more living a life with purpose, meaning and direction now, where before I was just on that hamster wheel of going, 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 going. And I wasn't in having positive, meaningful relationships with other people because I wasn't accepting myself for where I was. And it was just negatively affecting my life.
So powerful. And again, what's that saying regarding children in general? Do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. Children are sponges and they are not paying attention to what we say. They are watching what we're doing and who we're being. And so if we can, to me, the most beautiful gift that we can give another human is our pure presence. Mm-hmm. Like just, I think attention is the highest form of compliment that we can give another human. And I definitely have, over the last 8 years working on the phone as a nurse, the biggest thing that I learned was listen to understand, not to respond. And I think that's such a powerful tool that we can really model for our children, because we're so distracted by everything. It's instant 24/7 and we've never been more disconnected and obviously disheartened with all of these statistics, right? And so I love what you're doing, because as a woman, you have at least in your immediate circle 100 people. That's my perception of why when one woman heals, the whole world heals, because when you do the work, everybody in that circle also heals.
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
I believe it to be true, because, and I'll just give the funny example. I have the best husband on the planet, like bar none. The guy will do anything to support me and with me as long as it's legal. I mean, when we were dating...
Oh, he's your awesome sidekick.
He is. He freaking went to hot sculpt yoga when we were dating. Like, he never done yoga a day in his life, much less sculpt. So anyway, this is just an example of, and Amanda Francis calls this, like, clean up your own side of the street first, and then everybody else. Like, we can't, everybody's on this, their own very specific individual journey. And so just because we have evolved doesn't mean that our partner is also ready to evolve. And I see this all the time in my friendships, is that we can't be having a piss party because our partner's on board. And so back when I was learning about law of attraction and manifestation, I would say things like, well, honey, you know, what if you say, you know, I am, and talking about properties and these types of things, because that's what he was wanting to put his energy into. And he's like, listen, I'm not fixing to walk around saying I have these, all these multi-million dollar properties, and, you know, it's not true. And I'm like, okay, well, just keep doing what you're doing and just see how that works out for you. Just, you know, from a place of compassion. And now it's so funny. He sends me text messages with photographs of like 111, 1111, his burrito, we call it whole paycheck, costs $8.88. And so, and then I just found out, my son, Wallace, you know, he's in his government class, they're studying about different religions and stuff. And he just assumed that I was Buddhist. And I'm like, wow. I was like, that's a really cool compliment, because to me that means that I'm loving and I'm compassionate. And and I think it's because I have so many Buddha statues, is what he ended up telling me. The whole point of me sharing this is that, you know, it's not what you do, it's not what you have, it's who you be. Like, who are you being? So, and yeah.
I love that, because that, when you were talking about that with your kids, and that was the complete wrong message that I was sending to my kids, and I would never want to send to my kids, because I feel like that was a message that probably has been passed down for maybe a few generations, and each generation is different. We can't use the past to predict the future, or even, you know, live in the future. And the thing of, you work in your, working for this paycheck, and you work for the man, you slave for, but, and you just be happy about it, and, or not even be happy about it, but you just take it, right? And this thing of working hard and hard and hard and coming home and complaining about it, and, you know, that there's that whole negativity of what the kids are seeing. And I'm like, no, I want you to realize that you should be doing what you love, you're passionate about, and you'll be, you know, that you don't just have this job or do this thing because that's what society tells you to do, or your parents tell you to do, or even what your degree dictates. And so what a message they're getting is that both our parents are stressed out doing these jobs. We thought these jobs were cool, but they come home and they're crabby and tired all the time. And you know what I mean? And that was just awful. And then now, my kids are always just like, what'd you do today? What kind of cool, and even if they think some of the stuff, like when we said that about Wallace saying, you know, you're a Buddha, some of the stuff they're like, oh my gosh. And they make, it's so cute. They make these little funny jokes that they find funny, just about, you know, crystals and Reiki and yoga and chakras. And they just love it. They giggle and laugh, but then they're at nighttime, they're all like, hey, can I get in on some of that? And I just love that. We never had those conversations before when I was working that 9-to-5 grid. And because there just wasn't any, when I say time, because there was so much negativity around it.
Oh, yeah. And there's, this is what's coming up for me. Like, just when you say that, there's so much negativity around it. And it's sort of like you don't know what you don't know until you've removed yourself from that scenario, that situation. And if you just think about the amount of energy and muscles in your face that it takes to frown versus smile, you know, it takes energy to be crabby and to be negative. And although, of course, as a psychologist, you know this, the brain really holds, it's like Velcro. I've heard this term used. It sticks to negative thoughts like Velcro, mm-hmm. and happy thoughts tend to just slide right off. So it's actually, we do have to be intentional about You know, what are we choosing? And I believe in every single moment, thought to thought, opportunities, circumstances in our life, kids, work, whatever, relationships, we always have a choice. And I love this. I just shared this on Facebook. I'm sure this is a Buddhist thing. You know, before you say something, put it through this filter. Like, is it helpful? Is it kind? And is it necessary? Or something like that.
Right.
We're so quick to just spew out stuff that's not necessarily helpful or therapeutic in any way.
Well, just even think about when we talk about the media, that's what it is. It's just the constant negativity, and negativity thrives on negativity. And just think about it. Look where we live. What's the thing we often talk about? The weather. And most of the time it's been a negative passion, right? Because it's just the easier thing to slip into is the complaining or the negativity. Because people find a common bond, unfortunately, in negative thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, what's that saying? Birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that you're constantly living in this happy utopia, rainbows, unicorns, kittens all the time, right? There's real feelings, there's real relationship, there's real stuff that's going on. But we also have to have real great things in our toolbox that we can use to, you know, when we're having those moments and periods of time in our life and we grieve and we cry and those types of things. And that's all part of emotions. It's just not labeling emotions as bad or good or when you should have them and when you shouldn't. It's just not staying stuck in anything for too long and just having a whole array of them. It's just when they're taken too far, I think, you know, like too out of whack or whatever, you know what I mean? Just that's usually, and then if you tend to get stuck there, I think that's where some issues come up.
Oh, stuck in a rut. You're speaking the kapha now, Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. I think this is so important to talk about because I heard this many years ago that emotion means energy and motion.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to, I think this ties in so beautifully to this whole idea of resistance. And I believe that Jerry and Esther Hicks talk about this, your emotions are like your soul's GPS. Your emotions are trying to get your attention. Like, hey, we want you to look at why do you feel sad? Like, what's going on? Or, you know, why are you angry? And it's absolutely imperative to acknowledge the emotions because what we tend to do, right, is we like push them under the rug, we step on them, we cover them up with whatever, retail therapy, cocktails, sex, like whatever it is, right? There's so much resistance to feeling the feels, which is what I think promotes this busy badge of courage, because when we still the physical body as a teacher in yoga, you know, the mental chatter gets real loud. And then, mm-hmm. Well, there's all these, we all have these demons in our dark side or our shadow side. And it's a beautiful part. It's like the yin and the yang. You can't have the dark without the light. And so this is permission for people. We all have, welcome to the human condition. Like we all have these parts of ourselves that we'd rather, like, you know, maybe for some people it's like anger. They don't know how to express their anger in a healthy way, or they don't know how to be vulnerable or compassionate. And so I feel like the sooner we can give ourselves permission to feel the feels, and like you said, don't hang out there. And so I would love for you to share like a couple of simple tools that you share in your work that people could maybe start having some curiosity around or start to practice. Mm-hmm. And then I think you might guide us through some really a short little, very potent, powerful exercise.
Yeah. And the first thing, talking about being a yogi and a yoga instructor, is our breath. Our breath is always with us when we're alive, we're breathing. We always have our breath. And that is the number one self-healing tool we have. Is that our breath can control our thoughts and our emotions. And when I say that, it's because think about when you're upset or scared or angry, whatever emotion you have, where are we normally breathing from? Mostly shallow, that chest breath, you know, the fear, you know, think about like running and playing hide and seek, right? You're out of breath. You're in that chest breathing. But just even coming and taking a deep breath. And for me, that deep breath gives me that pause, time out. And it's a reminder to me that I have lived through something similar to this, like that survival mode, right? I have been through this. We've all been through survival mode. That's how, without getting into evolution, everything, right? We're chased by saber-toothed tigers, right? But we've come through this series of surviving, and now I'm an empowered adult. I'm choosing better. I'm knowing better. Am I still going to make, I say instead of mistakes, I'm using my wisdom from past experiences, and now I can choose my own healing. And that's just what's been super powerful for me just even the last few years, is that I have incorporated different modalities and having available tools to me for this. But the biggest thing was my breath, and then it's with me. So I have that, and that has just been something for me that kind of just awakened me on a whole different level, like spiritually, emotionally. And that another big thing was the disconnecting from negative relationships, being around negative people, spending time alone, being okay with spending time alone, and then resting. Those are like just some of the biggest things that have really authentically connected myself and awakened a part of me that I think has been there, but it's just been so suppressed. And another big tool I have is the protecting my energy, boundaries, you know, and that I'm not responsible for other people's reactions, or their perceptions. I'm responsible for me and how I, respond and react or choose not to. So those are just really big, kind of self-healing tools that I've been incorporating and that I continue to incorporate into my self-love toolbox.
Okay, I just want to recap those. Those are absolutely fantastic. The breath, what an incredible anchor to help us ground and become present, which is beautiful and so underutilized. Like, you know, as you were saying, we're always breathing in our chest, shallow. We're not really leveraging that incredible tool. So I love that. And then disconnecting from like dysfunctional relationships, huge. And scary for a lot of people that don't have the chutzpah to be like, you know what, I need to cut this cord. So that's huge. And also the rest, again, it's like, oh, if I'm not producing, like, who am I? So thank you for sharing those really practical yet powerful tools.
Yeah.
So, so good. Okay. So let's tell people, before we have that really cool exercise at the end, how can people get into your milieu, your vortex, your magic?
Definitely. Well, connecting with me, you know, social media, Melissa Berg Wellness on Facebook and melissabergwellness.com, and reach out and let's chat. I love connecting. I love being around positive energy and connecting on that one-on-one level. And, you know, we're given, you know, those our ears to listen. And I'm fascinated by people and their stories and their healing. And I would love to connect with you.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And since I'm such a numerology nerd, I have to share, because it was 2:22, 2 minutes ago. This is from the Michelle Newton app. She's an Aussie. And you can enter specific number sequences or just get a number for the day. So the 222, this is the message. The angels are sending the most beautiful people into your life to assist you at just the right time. These people will have the skills, knowledge, know-how, and expertise that you require. whoever arrives will really be an answered prayer. A long-term partnership could result. Of course. So good.
So good.
So good. So we talked about this really powerful experience that you provided in some of your classes, and it was really powerful. So should we round out this conversation with that experience, Melissa?
Definitely. Yep. And so in my yoga classes this week, I talked to, you know, it's the end of January. We were a month into 2020, and I've seen a lot of funny memes about January lasting forever. But also I feel like this has just been a time. There's nothing you have to attach to a month, right? There's always a time of renewal and reflection. And so I said, let's keep it simple. Let's just focus on our breath and the mantra one, O-N-E. And so, you know, we just want to keep it simple and connect. So my biggest thing is always about initiating that relaxation response in the body. So let's just do that. And close your eyes. If you're sitting, engage your feet with the ground and start to focus on your breath. Deepen its rhythm and find a slow, steady pace. Take a full breath in and a full breath out. With each complete breath cycle, silently repeat to yourself, one. Continuously repeat one to yourself after every full breath. And as you continue to do that, I'm going to share a short meditation with you. When I breathe in, I feel energized. When I breathe out, I feel relaxed. When I breathe in, I feel supported. When I breathe out, I feel free. When I breathe in, I feel connected. When I breathe out, I feel focused. When I breathe in, I feel happy. When I breathe out, I feel peaceful. When I breathe in, I feel ready. When I breathe out, I feel content. When I breathe in, I feel hopeful. When I breathe out, I feel satisfied. When I breathe in, I'm filled with possibilities. When I breathe out, I know the answers. When I breathe in, I feel my mind and body relax. When I breathe out, I can feel my spirit soar. Taking in another full breath in and a full breath out. Open your eyes. Take a little stretch. And thank your body for all that it does for you.
Wow. And allow your spirit to soar. Wow. Let's go, baby.
Definitely.
Oh, that's so, I was getting into that. I almost didn't come back. So thank you for that, Juicy. It's so important to honor the vessel, right? We only have one. And this has been such a wonderful conversation. It's been enlightening. It's been funny. It's been inspiring and empowering. I just want to thank you for your friendship and for your wisdom today, Melissa.
Thank you. It's so important to have just to talk about this in this topic. And we covered a lot of topics today, but a lot of times I really feel like in the past I wouldn't be having these type of conversations with people, because this was brought in some vulnerability and brought in some things that I may have not wanted people to know, or wanted to know I was feeling, or I didn't even know how I was feeling. It's so great when you can connect with others on that level of like-mindedness.
Right. To me, connection, without connection, to me, life is really pointless. So this connection is so enriching and so beautiful. And I, again, like, bow to you and your vulnerability and your courage. And you are giving so many people permission to do the same. And I know a lot of people listening are afraid. And I know a lot of people listening are on the edge. They're on the verge. And this is your sign. It's time to crack the, you know, the walls around your heart, just to let a little bit more light in. Because when you can be vulnerable, when you can let the light in, it's so much more fun. Would you agree? The liberation that comes from being vulnerable, it's like unmatched.
Well, just having these conversations one-on-one or with a small group or through this podcast is so much more fulfilling, because I don't have to feel a certain way or have people perceive me a certain way. I'm just able to share raw and not be judged, because we all have our own experiences, and we all have something to share, and we all have something to share with other people. And definitely it's a healing, learning relationship that's so different than the relationships I feel like I've endured in the past. And not to, you know, have this negativity on that, but I just wasn't my authentic self. I wasn't allowed, or I wasn't able. I didn't feel I could show up as myself.
Seriously, so liberating, right? Like, hello, yeah. I am Melissa Berg. Welcome to the party. What can I help you with? Oh my gosh, this is so fun. Thanks for playing in my sandbox, because really, this is just all about honoring the inner kids, in my humble opinion.
Yes.
So thanks for playing. And of course, thank you to the listeners. This is also a passion project, along with my card decks, Divine Downloads. And this is also evidence. Find something that you're passionate about and just show up and do it consistently. And I promise people will start picking up what you're putting down, and you are making an influence. You are making an impact. So please, for the love of all that is holy, keep showing up, keep being vulnerable. And until the next time, keep knowing that you're supported 24/7, even and especially in the times when you feel like you're not, because you are. And start looking for those winks from your angels, like in the numbers and stuff, and animals and the symbols, and you'll start to see them. And once you start seeing them, they come in spades, and it's so much fun. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye.